Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Well, submission. That seems to be something that kind of goes against the core of who we are as fallen humans. We like to have control over our lives. We like to do things our way. And that is nothing new to this generation. That's how it's been since the time of Adam and Eve. That was essentially why they chose to eat from the one tree that God had restricted them to eat from in the garden. And submission goes against who we are as fallen humans. At the same time, it's in essence what Christ requires of us as his followers. So that's a really big jump there. This is something that's so hard for us, and yet Christ has that standard that we submit to him. He said in Matthew 16, 24 to 25, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life, hang on to it, try to control it himself, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus says very clearly here that to follow him, we must deny ourselves, give up control of our lives. As we just mentioned, that's so hard. So how is this possible? Well, when we come to faith in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit who comes to reside within us, and he empowers us to do these hard things that Christ requires of us. But also, the more we get to know who Christ is, we can trust him more, and it's easier for us to then submit as well. So today we're going to look at a passage that will help us understand who Jesus really is and why we can trust him so that we can submit our lives to him. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're going to examine from this passage five reasons why we can trust Jesus. And my prayer is that in doing that, we will then be able to trust him enough to submit to him. Either submit to his lordship in our lives for the first time or as a recommitment to him. It's helpful for us to know that at this time, what was going on, we're just jumping into this account here. Tension had been mounting between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. Jesus was a threat to their power, their authority, control over the people, and so they were trying to figure out what to do with him. So as we begin chapter 10, Jesus is making a clear distinction here between himself and the religious leaders. He presents himself as the true leader who loves Israel and knows what's best for the people of God. And he accuses the religious leaders of being false leaders of the people. They're leading not out of love for the people, but out of selfish ambition. And so in addressing this situation, he's also addressing us as well. And so as we examine this passage, we'll find five reasons why we can trust Jesus Christ as our leader. First, we see that we can trust Christ because he was sent by God. Let's take a look at the first 3.5 verses here. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. Stop there for a moment. When Jesus talks about a sheepfold here, he's talking about a large enclosure with solid walls and only one entryway, something similar to what we see up on the screen there. Often several families who owned sheep would pasture them together, and then they would have them come into this enclosure at night if they were pasturing far away from home, and they would hire a night watchman to guard the sheep so that thieves would not come in and steal the sheep. And it was the watchman's duty then to only let those that were authorized by the families come in and lead the sheep out. So Jesus is saying that the religious leaders of the day were like the thieves who would not be allowed in through the gate. They had to find some other way into the pasture. Jesus is saying that he is the person authorized by the family, authorized by God, to lead the sheep out, to lead God's people. The religious leaders were not authorized by God. Their motives were selfish, to gain power over the people. They were not sent by God. Jesus is saying, I am God's representative. I'm the Messiah who came to lead his people. I'm the man who's allowed to enter the sheep pen through the gate. I don't have to sneak in. So what this tells us is that we can trust Christ because we know he was sent by God. Let's continue with the second part of verse 3 and through verse 6. Here, these verses tell us that we can trust Christ because we know him. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Here's the picture. Let's say there are three different groups of sheep that have bedded down together in the security of the fold overnight, and in the morning, each of the shepherds come to the sheep pen. And because they're the ones that are authorized to enter, they come through the gate and they make each one at a time, make a distinctive call or whistle. And each sheep knows which shepherd to follow, and it responds only to its own shepherd. The sheep will not follow the shepherd of the other sheep that are in the enclosure, just the one that they know is their shepherd. Well, in this case, Jesus is saying the shepherd's call is personalized to each of his sheep. He calls them by name. And that may have been something that shepherds would do in his day as well. They would know the sheep by name, and maybe they called them each by name, and they would follow him out of the sheep pen. Jesus is saying that he has come to the sheep of Israel. Some in Israel are his true sheep. Only some recognize his voice when he calls to them. Only some of them follow him out. Where are you at with Jesus? Are you a sheep who has responded to the shepherd's call to follow him? I know that many of you are. Praise the Lord for that. If that's the case, then I want you to think for a moment back when you first heard the call of the shepherd. What were the circumstances? How did Christ speak to you and call to you to trust him for the first time? Because when Christ leads you to make greater steps to maturity, he's using that same kind of voice. You will recognize his call to you. It's the voice that you know and you can trust. And following his voice then brings peace and joy. You're not out on your own in life, just guessing at the right path to take. You have a leader that you know that you can trust. So we can trust Christ because we know him. Jesus has given us some insight as to who he is, as opposed to who the religious leaders are. But as we see in verse 6, the people didn't get it. So Jesus tries again, and so we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. Here we see that we can trust Christ because he brings security and provision. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It may seem that at first Jesus is completely switching analogies here. He was talking about being a shepherd, now he's talking about being a gate, and he may be switching it up a little. However, it might not be as much as we would at first think. It may have been common in Jesus' day for the night watchman to actually lay down in the opening of the sheepfold and act as the gate themselves. And in that way, they were kind of like a human gate. So Jesus, like a shepherd who acts as a gate for the sheepfold, he's the one that provides the security of being in the fold. And he also, by getting up and opening that entryway, allows the sheep to leave the fold so they can access the provision of the pasture outside. But oftentimes we go through life trying to find the green pastures ourselves, not following the shepherd who has opened the gates and leads us out. We think that we will do what we need to do to provide for our own needs or to provide for whatever makes us happy, a decision about where to work, a decision about what to do with our money, maybe to buy something that we think will make us happy or to invest our money in a place that will provide for our own retirement. And those aren't bad decisions to make, but we make those without the involvement of Jesus in them. But Jesus has the best plan for our lives. He loves us. He knows what we truly need. He would love to lead us on the path that would provide the best for us, that would bring true joy, even if it also brings with it hardship. But for that to happen, that we need to surrender our will in those decisions to his will. We can trust Christ because he brings security and provision. And in verse 10, Jesus further expands this concept of provision. Here we learn that we can trust Christ because he brings fullness of life. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I, Jesus says, came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The religious leaders were selfish and destructive. They're the ones that came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring rich spiritual life, characterized by enjoyment and contentment. The Greek here of may have life and have it abundantly means that which goes way beyond necessity. Jesus not only came to bring spiritual life to people, he came to bring the best quality of life to people. Jesus came not only to gain sheep, but to enable his sheep to flourish and enjoy contentment and other legitimately good things. Now, he doesn't necessarily remove all hardship, but in the context of a relationship with him, we're able to flourish and have contentment and peace. So doesn't knowing that Jesus loves us and will lead us into this purposeful, joy-filled life make it easier to trust him and to submit to his leadership in our lives? I have a question for you. What is it that you are holding on to in hopes that Jesus won't make you let go of it? Is it a personal hobby or a career path or spending 100% of your income instead of trusting God and returning at least 10% that he requires of you? Whatever happiness that you think that you're holding on to and you just can't surrender that, that's just temporary. And it pales in comparison to the joy-filled, purposeful life that God longs for us to experience. We can trust Christ because he brings fullness of life. And then finally, as we come to verses 11 to 18, we see that we can trust Christ because he submitted to the Father. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Up to this point, the contrast Jesus has made is that he's the shepherd who protects and provides for the sheep, the one that the sheep can trust and follow, as opposed to the religious leaders who are like thieves and robbers and imposters trying to lead them just for their own selfish gain. Jesus is now saying, you may think I may be referring to myself as the one hired to take care of the sheep, that kind of shepherd, but I am not even like the hired hand. I have motivation not for selfish gain like the religious leaders. My motivation is not self-preservation like a hired worker that runs away when the wolf comes. Unlike the hired hand who just goes through the motions of protecting and providing because he gets paid for it, Jesus is saying that he protects and provides because he loves his people. He knows his people. He cares for them and is deeply concerned about their well-being. In fact, the bond of love that Jesus has with his followers is so strong that he is willing to do whatever it takes to do what they need, to do what's best for them. Like the true shepherd who risks his life to fight off the wolf who's coming to attack the flock, rather than running away like the hired hand, Jesus is willing to sacrifice himself for the well-being of his people. And Jesus does this not only for his followers that will come from the nation of Israel, but for the followers that come from other nations as well. So when he's speaking of laying down his life, he's foreshadowing the crucifixion. And he says that the reason he lays down his life is because he loves his Father and he willingly surrenders to the Father's will. He loves the sheep. That's us. Jesus is clear. No one forced him to lay down his life. He did it out of submission to the will of the Father and out of love for us. No one had the power to kill him. Only Jesus had the authority to lay down his life and praise the Lord. He had the authority to take it up again. Because he now lives and we have the privilege of submitting our lives to our living Lord, our Master, we can do that just as he submitted to his Father. We can trust Christ because he submitted to the Father. So the decision then is ours to submit or to not submit. Let's conclude with verses 19 through 21. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. How can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The people of Jesus' day were really divided over this teaching. Some just passed him off as a lunatic. Others pointed to the miracle he did of giving sight to the man who had been blind since birth. For them, they knew that Jesus just had to be who he was claiming to be. What about you? We've seen some really good reasons that we can trust Jesus and submit to his leadership. We can trust him because he was sent by God. We can trust him because we know him. We trust him because he provides security and provision. We trust him because he brings fullness of life. We can trust him because he submitted to the will of the Father for us. What is it that is keeping you from submitting to Christ's leadership in whatever particular area of your life that you're still holding on to? Won't you, because you trust Christ, give up that control to him? Let's pray. Jesus, what a joy it is to know you personally. You are alive to this day because death could not keep its hold on you. And this teaching that you gave to the people of Israel is something that benefits us because it shows us who you are. Thank you, in submission to the will of the Father, that you laid down your life for us willingly. Nobody could force you to do it. And you rose again, and you love us and want what's best for us. We can trust you because of all the ways we've mentioned today. It's so hard. This goes against the core of our very fallen nature to submit every aspect of our life to you, and yet that's exactly what you require of us. Not out of some, like a harsh taskmaster, but you require it out of us because it's what's best for us and because it's what will bring the most glory to your Father. I don't know the people that are here today that maybe are listening online now or at some future time, but each of us has an aspect of our life that we are hesitant to give up control to anybody, even you. I pray that we would come to know you more and more, and in that relationship of trust, as sheep that trust a shepherd, that we would give up control of those things as well. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus, we ask. In your name and by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen.